Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. That's right, here I am, your host, Mac, once again, with another hour in the finest of phonograph music record entertainment. And it's another one of those nights, which I was saying just a moment ago, I love to have because I didn't have to prepare records for the show because I have a guest. So tonight I have Merrill Sprinzen here with me, who's a collector of Little Wonder records. Hi, Merle.
Hi, Mac.
How's it going?
Great, thanks.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Sure. So you're one of the people that I ambushed at one of the local phonograph shows, as I often do. I'm often prowling for other collectors to get onto the show here, and that's how I found you.
Yeah.
And you were certainly willing to talk about your collection and the kinds of stuff you have and bring it out here for everyone to hear.
Yeah, it's always fun sharing your interests with other people.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about what we're going to be hearing tonight.
Okay. Little Wonder Records were created in about 1914, and the company lasted until about 1923. It, as a company, revolutionized the recording industry because up until that time, phonograph records cost about 75 cents, which at that time was a considerable amount.
Like in conversion, that's like $35 or something in today's money for a single 78 record.
Exactly.
Just put that in perspective.
Yep. And so these cost 10 cents. Other companies had tried to undo the monopoly that the established phonograph companies had at the time. And this was the first one that was successful. There's actually a pretty funny story about why it was, which we can talk about later. But it was the first one that was successful, and it was hugely successful. So it sold at least 20 million copies of all of its records and could easily have sold more.
All right. So we heard pretty much the first record.
The absolutely very first one.
There.
Yeah, exactly the first one. And they were recorded in chronological order. So I'll be playing them tonight from beginning to what I have as the end. Mm-hmm. So we'll be sort of traveling through time from 1914 to 1923 as we listen.
All right. So that was Ben Bolt, sung by who?
Well, all of the attributions for the artists are always subject to interpretation.
Well, some are very clear. You hear them and you say, oh, that's Arthur Collins or whoever.
Exactly. But there's no record of exactly who it was.
Right.
So this is just collector's best guess about all of them. So the best guess for that was that it was Henry Burr.
Henry Burr. I was going to say the same thing. It sounds just like him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And all right. So
so coming up next is probably the most famous and certainly the most valuable of the Little Wonder records. It's number 20, and it's sung by Al Jolson.
Okay, let's hear it.
Carolina, that's a state, and a girl I knew. one who promised she would wait, that she'd ever be true. Since I've gone, I heard she's wet. Didn't mean a word she said. Oh, but how my poor heart bled. But what's a fella to do? Gone are the days that I spent to Wheel Carolina. She had the sunshine in her laughter, just like the state they named her after. Gone are the days, the very days I'm dreaming of, and still I seem to hear her say, will you be back, will you be back, back to the Carolina, you.
When you push them clouds away, you're a cool net, a gunner, and a wasp, and a nunner. When you push them clouds away,
just push,
don't shove,
just push them clouds away.
Keep a pushing and a shoving and a pushing and a shoving till you push them clouds away.
Gentlemen, be seated.
Good evening, Arthur. I believe you were married when I first met you.
No, I was sick. That's what made me look that way.
But you are married now.
Oh, yes.
Someone told me you were late at the wedding.
Yes, but not late enough.
How do you like your wife's mother?
Going, thank you.
Is she still at the house?
Yes, at the house, but not still.
Will you tell me how you came to propose?
Oh, 'twas that day I washed my head. I couldn't do a thing with it.
Then you don't advise matrimony.
Not for single people.
When do you get your vacation?
I don't get none. My wife ain't going away this summer.
Go in, Dean Torres.
Old town, you'll never wear. I say that I'll be good to you. It's not the price it sounds for. When you leave old town, you'll only have it now.
long, long way to Tipperary, but my heart's right there.
Victor 14 doesn't like the Little Wonders.
No, apparently not. So we'll just play them on the...
Yeah, we'll just have to do one after the other on the Victor 2.
Sure.
I warned you, I'll tell everyone else out there, the Little Wonder records are all, we didn't mention 5 inches?
Yeah, they're actually 5 5/8.
Right. So they're very small. And so therefore the mass on the turntable is not very large, and you have this heavy tone arm going around them. So obviously it's slipping a little bit.
Yeah.
So was that a problem with these at all that you know of for the company?
Well, I don't actually know much about that. All of my players are very small players, and so the tone arms are not quite as large and massive as the ones that we're playing with here in the studio. What I do know is that sometimes I need to play with the needle length and those kinds of things to keep it from doing exactly what's happening here.
Right, right. There's ways to alleviate the pressure, but... It's just part of working with the machines of this age and getting
right, and the charm of it all.
Right. So why don't you tell us about what we heard?
Sure. We heard then a selection of different kinds of things, but taken in order. So the first after the Al Jolson was Jolly Coppersmith, which I'm sure people have multiple recordings of. For me, it's always one of those kind of fun songs that are just really about all different kinds of sounds. Like just even the notion of recording different kinds of sounds was just
right,
fun.
Right. The other one I know that's in that vein is the Anvil Chorus.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
Exactly.
Bing, bing, clink, bing. The clinking sound.
Exactly.
That's nice.
Exactly.
Sure.
And so it's a coppersmith, so, you know, it's part of, it's like the workshop.
Right.
Then we heard, and I'll give the Little Wonder numbers as well in case people are interested.
And you could also give your conjecture of who the artists are.
Oh, okay. So that one, and it's not my conjecture. I'm actually reading from the discography.
Okay.
So the Jolly Coppersmith, I just need to turn the page back, was... unknown. It's just an orchestra.
Yeah, a lot of the orchestras were just orchestras anyway.
Probably Columbia session bands.
Yeah, right.
Then the next was number 53, which had two things, Push Them Clouds Away, and then the other was Goodbye Manhattan Isle. Push Them Clouds Away was probably the Peerless Quartet, and the jokes were probably by Collins and Burr that were at the end of that. Then we sort of heard A Long, Long Way to Tipperary. And it's not clear on that who did the vocals.
Right, right. Okay, so what we'll do then, we'll play the records and... We'll do a fast changeover.
Sure.
And so what are we hearing first now?
The next thing we'll be hearing is number 161, which is When I Dream of Aaron, I'm Dreaming of You. As we'll notice as we march through there... The waves of Irish immigration were happening, and so there's a huge number of Irish-related songs that start happening. And so I just brought us one, maybe two of those. But I thought this one was particularly fun, especially at the end.
With the nightingale singing its sweet melody, and the sweet scent of flowers perfume the night breeze, then I dream of my old home far over the sea, by the lake of Killarney, where I long to be. And I see you, it seems, waiting there on the shore, where together we stood in the sweet days of yore. I am dreaming tonight of my calling so true. When I dream of old Erin, I'm dreaming. when I dream of old Erin, I'm dreaming of Melville.
Quick change. Rewind and change.
There's a funny man I know
who gets all the people's dough.
He works in a movie show.
Mr. Charlie Chaplin,
dancing in the cabaret.
He's a famous bygone day.
He's the latest and the greatest craze. So Charlie Chaplin sees the funny Chaplin sees when he comes down the street and makes a cop stop. They chase him round the town and auto knocks him down. Oh, Charlie, 20 times a day they kill him, but they never kill him like a bum. He gives a gal a hug.
And he sucks his toe and bangs his nose and stumbles from the seat.
Whee! Once that lady that I know got a super kick jaw. Never met no Charlie Chaplin beat. No Charlie Chaplin beat. No funny Chaplin beat. When he comes down the street, he starts to trip, trip, and tumble around the block. They throw him off the dock. So Charlie with his baby goes and swimming. Kicks with all the women, kicks his ass.
Man, good. by. You're the last of a noble race. There'll be a pain in each heart on the day you depart to go to your resting place. You're the greatest American to be with us today. You made it possible to build the USA. We owe you more than we can pay. God bless you, red man, goodbye.
Wow, what a great tribute to the American Indian there by what, Henry Burr, was it?
That was
like?
Sam Ash.
Sam Ash? Wow.
Truly.
It was like, goodbye, red man. Get the guns ready. Here we go. Goodbye.
One of the things that's really interesting, because these were just kind of middle America songs, and so all of the stereotypes, attitudes of the times really come out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the Jewish ones, there's the Indian ones, there's the black people ones, there's the Irish ones. They're all wedded through.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the most sort of politically correct of those versions that
mm-hmm.
I could find to bring, because I just didn't want to bring some of the others. But they're all through this, which is in part what makes it historically so interesting.
Sure, sure. And as I always say with playing these records, they're a reflection of the period.
Exactly. So what we heard then, we began that set with When I Dream of Erin, which was sung by Sam Ash, and then Those Charlie Chaplin Feet by Collins and Harlan, Yiddish Blues with Maurice Burkhart, and ended with Goodbye Redman, Sam Ash.
Now, that last one I know I have on a Columbia 10-inch. Actually, it was a few weeks ago I played a record. I can't remember what it was, but I played the short version, the Little Wonder version, and then I played the Edison Blue Amberall version.
Oh, how interesting.
And it was the same artists. I know it was.
How interesting.
It was a Collins and Harlan one, and he's a rag picker, it was.
Uh-huh.
So it was interesting how all this material was getting recorded in all different formats, doing each session and just...
Yeah, according to the discography, that was common, that there were the same artists early in the days of Little Wonder. So in the very early numbers, but then later, apparently from numbers 200 on, then it wasn't common at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was different artists doing different ones.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently none of the artists who recorded for Little Wonder were ever paid for these recordings.
Mm-hmm.
They were just studio stuff that was just done, not reimbursed.
Really? They weren't paid at all?
They weren't paid at all.
How'd they get them there?
I don't know. I mean, I think they must have been in the studio doing other things, and they just did it, and that was that on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a record company's dream.
Truly. Truly.
Man. Okay. So what are we going to hear next?
The next, I thought I would really sort of show the diversity, and so the next one is actually part of the opera part. There are four or five very small recordings of arias from operas, and so the first one we're going to hear is La Traviata.
Se miei volanti spiriti, il giovanile adore, e la sembra col platino, sorriso dell'amor, dell'amor. Quali che disse vivere, io voglio te vedere. Quasi in cielo,
Okay, that was a interesting topical song there.
Yep.
What was that one called?
Where Did Robinson Crusoe Go with Friday on Saturday Night?
Right. It's a riddle, isn't it? I don't know the answer, though.
Just one of the... What was true of these songs was that they were just the popular songs of the day, but not the most popular songs of the day, which mm-hmm. were being monopolized by the major recording studios. Mm. So mm. these were just... ditties, for the most part, which is why for a very long time collectors haven't been collecting these, because they didn't feature named people, they didn't feature extraordinary songs, they were just little common stuff, little ditties. And so you're not going to find earth-shaking things through the collections. They're just very typical and very representative of the musical tastes of the time.
Well, that's great because it's, I like that whole approach of the records for the common people.
Exactly.
For everybody to hear and listen to.
Which is really why I think they're just so much fun to collect, because you can watch history just happen from the viewpoint of sort of common America.
Ooh, interesting. All right. Well, this is your host, Mac, here on the Antique Phonograph Music Program. And my guest here with me today is Merle Sprinzen. And she is a collector of Little Wonder Records. And they're little 5 5/8-inch records, always. And always, I've found them from time to time. Whenever I find them in decent condition, I'll pick them up because they're part of people's record collections. I see them quite often. They're not that rare. But like anything, once you get into it, I'm sure there are super rare records.
Right.
The ones that are extremely elusive.
Yeah. The later the number, the higher the number, the more rare they are. The company was extremely popular in its early days, as I said, selling millions and millions.
Right.
But then as the company slowly went out of business and was acquired, the records were, while they were produced in much smaller quantities, which makes them much more rare now.
So how many are there in total about?
Well, we're not sure exactly. The numbers go into the 1700s, but not every number was used.
Right.
So we think that there are about 1,200 of them.
And how many do you have of them?
900.
Okay. So, and that sounds like what it'll always keep it interesting, because if you get even another 300, you never know when another one's going to show up.
Well, exactly. And the discography that was just published about them was produced as a result of several collectors getting together sharing notes.
Right.
And I've added, as a result of my collection, probably 20 additional records in that people didn't know existed until I had my copy.
Well, it's like that with a lot of areas of collecting these records and the machines. It really has been the collectors putting their information that they're finding out personally out there, which has now become the source of information for others via self-published books, via the internet, and via even CDs that they're putting out of music.
Right.
Because that's so easy now, too.
Right. Because there are no existing company records.
Right.
About what was recorded. And so it's just whatever we find.
Right. And so you're going to be doing something grand with your collection, which we'll talk about in a little while.
Great.
Let's play some more music. What are we hearing next?
We're now going to hear sort of America Discover Hawaii, so that there are some Hawaiian songs coming next.
Embrace a kiss before we part.
Needle change. You now have to change those needles.
We thank you, California, for the things that you have done. Though he's not a native son, you have treated him like one. The nation takes its hat off to the great and golden west. California, you have stood a mighty test. California, Mr. Wilson, California was good to you. And don't forget the vote for women, help to win the victory too. For when the tide was turning fast against you, he made your dream come true. Be good to California, Mr. Wilson, California was mighty good to you. Be good to California, Mr. Wilson, California was good to you. And don't forget the vote for women, help to win the victory too. For when the tide was turning fast against you, made your dream come true. Be good to California, Mr. Wilson. California was mighty good to you.
The girl, it was the custom. Each night before she did up her hair in curls, to kneel and tell her troubles to the angels. And that was the way with all the good little girls. But nowadays the maids are mercenary, for earthly blessings is all that they seem to care. They go down on their knees and ask the angel, please, to hearken to this mother maiden prayer. Give me a lot of bowls and lots of pretty clothes. Give me a beak and knees and feet for all the shows. Give me a millionaire to fall in love with me. Take me to Rexers, pay my collectors, one of those silly platonic protesters. Give me a limousine and diamonds like a queen. Give me most anything else you have to spare. Give me the boy that I am after. Let me retain my daily laughter. That's the 20th century maiden prayer.
Tell you, those phonographs are tough on the little wonders.
Yeah, they sure are.
Oh, well.
It just happens.
Yeah. What was the Little Wonder phonograph that they made for these records? What was that like?
The Little Wonder phonograph was actually produced by a different company, which I think was called the Boston Talking Machine Company. And there was not a formal relationship between that phonograph and these records, although the person who founded Little Wonder Records apparently was thinking about marketing the phonographs, and I think that did in fact market the phonographs with the records, but not because he had a monetary interest in them.
Right.
They just shared the name.
So I thought you said that you had an open horn one, which is an external horn machine. Isn't there an internal horn machine also that's called a Little Wonder?
Yes, but that has absolutely no relationship with these records at all.
Okay.
Apparently there are only two machines that are related. The Little Wonder phonograph by Boston Talking Machine, and another one called Baby.
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 Yeah, I know that one. That looks like a little Victrola, doesn't it? That one?
I don't know. I've never seen one of those.
I've seen it on that popular internet auction site.
Indeed.
Search for that. You'll find it.
Yeah. Just what I need. More stuff in my house.
Oh, boy. I hear you.
The playlist?
Yeah, to the playlist. Yes.
So we started with Farewell, My Love, the sort of introduction to Hawaii, Aloha Oi, which I'm sure I've completely screwed up the pronunciation. Henry Burr. Then Favorite Hawaiian Hula Melody.
I was going to say, that's a great record because the earliest recordings of guitar are mostly Hawaiian music.
Yep.
And that was a great example of it. Nice
yep.
there.
And that one, we actually know who did it because the artists were in Sears catalog. Sears Roebuck catalog had a distribution relationship with Little Wonder. And so all of the Sears catalogs from 1914 to 1921 or so are selling Little Wonder records. And some of them say which artists recorded which ones. And so mm-hmm. we found out, for example, that that's Louise and Ferrara.
Husband and wife team.
Yep.
Yep.
And one of the people that I actually do some trading with collects Hawaiian records. And so he's interested in Little Wonder because there's the Hawaiian stuff.
Sure, sure.
Then we heard a funny song called Be Good to California, Mr. Wilson, sung by Sam Ash. And then the Modern Maiden's Prayer, which I included because it was from the Ziegfeld Follies. So it was a song that the Ziegfeld Follies made famous that year, 1917, and Little Wonder recorded the song because right. it was popular at the time.
And that was, I believe, Eddie Cantor's first record also. Because I know the Victor record that I have is widely known as Eddie Cantor's first recording of that tune.
Cool. And this one was sung by Sam Ash.
Right. So tell us what's to become of these records.
Well, I realized that probably there would be few people on earth who were interested in collecting them, and certainly they probably wouldn't exist in my own personal family. And so I looked around for a place where they could sit because there aren't existing collections of these much. So I wrote first to the Smithsonian, and they weren't actually interested in the whole set, but suggested to their great credit that I contact the Library of Congress. And so it turns out that the Library of Congress is absolutely thrilled to have my collection, and so I've arranged it so that when I'm not here anymore, my collection will go off to the Library of Congress, and then it'll be available to everybody.
That'll be exciting. So that'll be your legacy.
Exactly.
It'll be the Merle Sprinzen Little Wonder Record Library area shelf.
Exactly. And the only stipulation that I made to them was that I didn't want the collection broken up.
Right.
Because I save label variations. Because some of the labels, there were three principal labels. And sometimes they went back and produced newer versions of the old records and just put the new label on.
Right.
So I've got different eras of the same underlying recording, just with different labels on it, because they went back on press.
Right.
Which I think is just a fascinating story of the of the company. So I wanted those all to stay.
Staying power of certain songs.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, what are we going to hear next?
Well, the time is now about 1917 in recording, and so America goes off to war. And so I'm going to play some of the war songs that are through this as well.
Let's hope the phonograph holds up.
Thank you. Sammy Brown was a volunteer. Went off to France like a cavalier.
When he learned to say oui, you for me, ma chérie.
He met some girls on the Rue Montmartre. They made a dent into Sammy's heart.
To his friends he pinned a note, and this is what he wrote.
They've got that la 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 dream,
la 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 in their wonderful eyes. Those sweet Parisian eyes, they tell such wonderful lies.
And every Yankee doodle will go off the noodle with his joyous surprise.
They're bound to catch
in
his heart, right from the start.
Oh, très joli, très joli. Oh, in the roll of great big green
eyes. And look at you, look at you.
You keep a paradise if you could hardly move. And when I quit the trenches on the old far trenches, I'll be taking the chance. I'm simply crazy over every girl in France.
Now little Johnny was a volunteer. He kissed his girl goodbye.
He said, don't worry, I'll be back, my dear. So sweetheart, don't you sigh.
Your soldier boy will always be true blue, though far across the foam.
Come tell me, dearie, what a thing to you, and I come sailing home.
And as she brushed her eye, he heard her cry, I do not care for a diamond ring, a string of pearls. You do not need to bring, do not bring a motor car. When you come back from afar, please do not bring a stable coat to me, but I would have been happy. General Pershing, tell him I will jump with glee if he will
bring back the tiger to me.
Okay, I love those World War One topical songs. They're fun.
Yeah, and there are huge numbers of them. Some of them from the point of view of the people fighting. Some of them from the point of view of the people at home missing the people who are fighting.
Sure,
and
sure.
So it's everybody talking to everybody all through the war.
Yeah.
So those were just three. Obviously, we began with La Marseillaise by an orchestra. And then I'm Crazy Over Every Girl in France.
Yahoo!
By the Peerless Quartet. And then final in that set was Bring Back the Kaiser to Me, which we know in alternate lyrics to, also perhaps by the Peerless Quartet.
Right. And the Peerless Quartet being different people through the years anyway. So
yeah,
all these generic names, you know, they're Peerless Quartet on Victor. They're the Stellar Quartet on that label. They're another quartet. It's the same different people, interchangeable, all. I'm talking about these songs, the bands. It was such an interchangeable business then.
Yeah. I mean, and sort of, and because there wasn't a lot of money involved, people just moved right through.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now we're into looking at these labels, the orange labels. Was this the last label variation on these?
The first ones were just all black, and the label information was just sort of buffed off. The next set were kind of a cream color with blue letters. And then there is also a variation in there of those being orange with the with blue lettering information. And then the final is orange with black.
And these are always one-sided records, right?
Always one-sided records.
Right.
Although apparently the numbers in the end were then became electrically recorded, and those were double-sided.
Uh-huh.
But and very, very end, 1930s.
How close do you think you have one to the end?
I have Well, we're not sure. But I have a 17 something which I've brought to find at the end.
Okay.
I'll play my very last one.
It's close to the end.
It's close to the end.
Right.
So I have 1923.
Okay. So what are we going to hear next?
Next, we're going to hear for the most part, Little Wonder recorded the one take of each song, and that was it. And so there was mostly take number one of every single song they put out, except that sometimes they put out separate takes of the same song. So what I've brought are two takes of Wilbur Sweatman, actually. So we're going to move into some jazz. And I've got two takes of the same tune. But one record is in better shape than the other, and so it's going to be a little hard to pick out take variations in the midst of acoustical variations. But I thought it would be interesting nonetheless.
Okay, so I had to help that record along. So everyone heard these. It's something I didn't consider over doing a show about Little Wonder Records, that the drag of the tone arm would give us some technical problems. And I tried grabbing some butterfly clips, putting them on top there. Early machines and records had a hold-down device. It was sometimes screwed down, sometimes it snapped down.
Yep. I have an old little Mickey phone, a Swiss-made little, and it has one of those things that holds the record down.
Right, right. So it was needed sometimes, but these old other phonographs don't have it, so we're dealing with it.
Exactly. People will get the basic idea.
It's part of the machines and how we deal with them.
Yep.
So I heard some variations there in those two records, in the mixes.
Yep.
All right, so what else do we need to know about Little Wonder Records, Merle?
Well, they're not particularly collectible. They don't cost very much usually, not much at all. If anybody out there has any that they're interested in, please feel free to contact me via you.
Sure.
I'm always happy to add into the collection that I'm sort of building here. And I'd be happy to talk more about them with anyone out there who's interested in knowing more.
I'll certainly pass anyone on to you who comes to me at the email here. It's mac@wfmu.org. Always welcome to email me. I get lots of questions and comments and inquiries from around the world for people. So any little wonder information that comes to me, I'll certainly pass on to you because it's you who is writing the history of this stuff.
Well, not me exactly. And the discography by Tim Brooks is available now. And if you write through Mac, I can send off to you the information about how you order it.
Right.
As I said, all of the stuff is fairly inexpensive. The records are usually, you know, $3 to $4 each, and the discography is $11 or $12. So one of the things that's lovely about creating this collection is that it's not exorbitantly expensive to have been doing this.
Right. How long has the discography been available?
For about a year, I think.
Okay.
So, I could be wrong a little bit, but it's not years and years.
It's not years and years.
No.
You know, so much more information I've noticed in the last 10 years coming out. When I first started getting into this stuff, there's so little information available. There are a few books. Discographies were hard to come by. Dating guides. There's so much that's come out. It's really been great.
Yeah. And again, this was really started by a person named George Blacker who began it, and then he died. It was passed to a different person. That person died. I mean, it's been one of those.
Wow.
And so over time, the people who have had these collections have just banded together to pull it together, and that's what was published.
Right. All right. Well, Merle, thanks for coming by and letting us hear your Little Wonder records.
Well, you're very welcome.
They were fun.
And we're going to go out with my very last one, which is number 1731. And I'll just tell you what it is. It's the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers from, oh God, my French, Chauve-Souris, which was clearly some kind of musical production of the time. It's a foxtrot by an orchestra.
All right. And I'll be back next week, folks, with another program, probably by myself next week. So tune in then. Until then, nighty-night, everybody.
Hello.